Good afternoon to you. I'm Andy Klein, and this is a Juno Afternoon, the Friday edition, and pleased to be with you today. We're going to be talking today with James Sullivan all about This Wonderful Life, and it's Beer Friday tonight on This Wonderful Life as well. We're going to also talk to Michelle Tabler about the top ID thefts crimes of 2016, and another top list of 2016. We're going to be talking to Annie B. over from KXLL. And she's going to give us her top picks of groups, songs, bands, and cool stuff in 2016. That's all going to be happening, plus Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more right here on this Friday edition of Juno Afternoon. But first, here's National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. President-elect Donald Trump has nominated Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke to become the next Secretary of the Interior. Tribal leaders in Montana say, for the most part, he's a good pick to lead the department, which oversees the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Nikki Ouellette of Montana Public Radio reports.
Tribal leaders across the state are vocal in their support of Representative Zinke. Vernon Finley is chairman of the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes of the Flathead Reservation in western Montana.
What is really important is that the tribal perspective would have a seat at the table. Now, given that it would be a Republican administration, having someone there who has worked with and who understands a lot of the Native issues, I think, is what's important.
Finley and others say Zinke has a strong record of working with tribes on issues like water compacts, supporting tribal sovereignty in natural resource management decisions, and securing funding for tribal programs. Environmental groups have come down hard on Trump's pick. They say Zinke's voting record on environmental issues is concerning, as is his support to roll back regulations on oil, gas, and coal extraction on federal public lands. Zinke accepted Trump's nomination Thursday morning. For National Native News, I'm Nikki Ouellette.
As tribal leaders and Native organizations examine nominations for the incoming Trump administration, U.S. lawmakers are also weighing in. This week, New Mexico Democratic Senators Tom Udall and Martin Heinrich expressed their skepticism of the president-elect's choice of Rick Perry, former governor of Texas, to be Secretary of Energy, while Native American Oklahoma Republican Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen supports the nomination. Some people opposing the Dakota Access Pipeline were quick to point out Perry's connection. He's on the board of the company building the project, Energy Transfer Partners. A nonprofit environmental group founded with the intent of protecting the Black Hills from development is disbanding. Jim Kent visited with the group's coordinator and has this report.
The Defenders of the Black Hills was founded to preserve, protect, and restore the environment of the 1851 and 1868 Fort Laramie Treaty territories. Treaties made between the United States and the Great Sioux Nation. Since its inception in November 2002, the group has taken part in efforts to protect Bear Butte, stop uranium mining, and preserve prairie grasslands. Lakota Elder Charmaine Whiteface has led the group since it was founded.
And our first project we took on was in January of 2003, and it was a protection of Bear Butte from a shooting range.
The defenders won that battle and would go on to fight many others.
Logging, sacred sites protection, water protection, air protection, the nuclear radioactive pollution issue, mining, stopping mining of all kinds.
And even when they didn't win the battle, says Whiteface, the defenders felt they were successful because of the awareness they brought to the issues.
We think we were very successful because now there's so many other groups popping up, and people are aware of a ton more awareness and education of the public about the environmental issues in this Great Plains region.
Charmaine Whiteface adds that with its members aging and other environmental groups present to carry the baton, she feels that now is the right time for the defenders to step back from the fight. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
In Canada, First Nations leaders met with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on Thursday. The Prime Minister announced he would meet annually with the leaders. He also announced the intent to create a board to work on reconciliation between the government and former students of Indian residential schools. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Show.
Would the holiday season be without a viewing of It's a Wonderful Life? But how about This Wonderful Life? Let's talk about that a little bit with none other than George Bailey, who's here in the studio with me. Actually, it's James Sullivan. Let's lift the veil.
Just for a moment. We'll throw that veil back down as soon as possible. But
Perseverance
hello.
Theater doing This Wonderful Life, a little bit of a different, slightly different take on It's a Wonderful Life.
That's right. We're telling It's a Wonderful Life, the wonderful Frank Capra movie starring Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed and a whole host of other wonderful characters. And it's a one-man version. I take it all on.
It's amazing.
It's a lot of fun.
There's a lot of characters in It's a Wonderful Life. Right?
A lot of oddballs.
What's the count? What's the character count? Do you know offhand?
I think, actually, if you include, I have a bunch of one-liners for, townspeople.
Townspeople.
Angry old man. Yeah. Yelling,
you get him, George.
Somebody call the police. I have a couple of those.
Right.
He reappears a couple times.
Now,
that angry guy.
So,
there's 17 or 18, actually.
18 roles. So... when you do that, is there a visual cue to the audience that you're doing another role? I mean, do you jump over into another place? Do you change your demeanor?
I try and do there's a little bit of body movement. I worked, Alison Holtkamp directed me, and one of the wonderful things, having just an extra set of eyes in there, is she was like, stop running around.
Uh-huh.
I kept feeling like I had to do a big difference.
Right,
but between my voice and just the change in dialogue, it usually helps. And people have, it's pretty easy to follow along.
When you tell a story normally, just as a person telling a joke or a story, and you assume different.
Yeah, and then you
voices.
Say, and then my dad said, right. Well, you son, take out the garbage.
So you get it.
That's
right?
My dad, by the way.
That's your dad. That was excellent.
Yes, my dad.
Take out the
My dad plays Potter tonight. My dad will be playing Mr. Potter.
Old man Potter. Oh, I hate him so. Oh.
Old toad-faced toilet.
Toad-faced Potter.
Regular skunk in the grass.
So what are some of the things that are, this is kind of a dumb question because it seems like it would be the most challenging thing. What are some of the challenges of doing 17 different roles?
The funny thing is after I had rehearsed it a couple of weeks working with Allison, I did it a quick kind of rough run through just in front of a couple of friends. And the first thing I noticed is that I hadn't really worked at all on the narrator.
Oh.
The regular guy. I'd been so focused and worried about, making sure I get George and what does Potter sound like. And then as I started talking, one of the wonderful things about the play is that it's the play starts with this guy. He's like, hey, I love It's a Wonderful Life. I love it so much. I want to do it all for you myself. That's the first line. And then he does.
Oh, I see.
And
okay.
I had, I just kind of assumed when Art Roach was nice enough to offer me this role months ago, and I said, great, and it'll be easy because I love the movie. I do love the movie. I don't even have to act like mm-hmm. I pretend to love the movie. I love it. I've always loved it. So it'll just come natural. But then when I did that first little rough rehearsal in front of my friends, I'd realized that I'd kind of skipped him.
He's a character. He's a main character.
Yeah,
he's told from his perspective in
right.
a lot of ways, right?
Yeah, exactly. And he has to be... he has to have a perspective in there. You know, he's kind of a wise ass, which comes very natural to me also. So
does he kind of interrupt the telling of the story?
Sure, he has to. Occasionally, you know, he has to do with, some of the basics of just telling them. Now we're at the building and loan. You know, now we're at Martini's Bar. So he has to do some of that just to help the audience figure out where we're going. But he also has, you know, does a lot of color commentary, I'll say that. And that's a lot of fun, too. And I think it makes it that character, the one who's not in the movie, brings a lot of freshness and a lot of life to the telling of the story.
Is it harder to just get down the mechanics of doing the lines and things like that in a play where you don't have other people to play off of?
The one tough thing is I found myself, like, Allison joked, she was like, you have happy feet. What are you doing? You keep
just running around
because I had no one to talk to. So I just talked to myself. So I felt like I had to make up energy to compensate maybe. So in the first few rehearsals, she's like, please, you're giving me a headache.
Right.
Stop running around the stage. What are you doing?
Have you done one-man shows before?
No, this was my first.
Yeah.
And I was telling some friends of mine, who came to the show. It's kind of it's a great way to cheat your way into the first one-man show. You know, I've had friends do one-man shows, you know, a couple of years ago when Boston did an Iliad, and that just seemed like that was a marathon. That was a huge undertaking. I kind of cheated because I already knew the movie so well.
Right.
So when he handed me the script, I was like, you know,
yeah,
and
I know
said
the scene,
line.
I know this
like,
scene.
I know this line. I know this right. scene. I know this guy. I've seen this. I've seen the scene 100,000 times, and it came a lot quicker than I thought it would.
Does the play allow you to kind of almost do impersonations of Jimmy Stewart, or do you separate that out completely? Is it completely different? Do you try to get that out of your mind, or what?
No, I go right in there.
You go in there.
He's there. He's there.
Jimmy Stewart as George Bailey.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're doing.
Because
the narrator's telling the story of the movie.
But I'll tell one of the jokes early on is the narrator, you know, he's as when Jimmy Stewart appears in the movie and in my play, when he appears, he says his first line. And he's like, no, you see, Joe, I want a big one. And I said, oh, yeah, he bears a striking resemblance to Jimmy Stewart.
Right, yeah, right. So,
and,
just in case you noticed. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
It's fun. You know, the fun thing is that the show, too, so many people know the movie. But I've had, actually, last night I had a couple people who had never seen it before.
Never seen it.
And they were like, the first minute or two, they felt like, what is... Because the first minute or two, if you come and see it, the first page is all inside jokes. The first few pages I'm making kind of light of the show, kind of doing just a few lines, famous lines from the movie. And it gets a lot of laughs at my friend. I'll put her on the spot. Miss Sarah Calvert has never seen it. Sarah's never seen it, who works here at K2. She loved it. She told me so. But she said she was like, what is going on?
It's
and everyone
really...
else is laughing. And I don't know. I don't get any of it.
So funny. I mean, like every now and then you run into someone like who hasn't like seen Star Wars or something, you know, and you make, you know, oh, I'm not your father. And they're like, well, what do you mean you're not my No, it's a reference. So like everyone should know this reference.
I did. I won't call anyone else out. Sarah's enough. But I've had two friends come up to me and say, I've never seen it. And I was like, were you raised by wolves? Raised in some foreign communist country? How did you not see It's a Wonderful Life?
Immediately make judgments about their parents and things. You know, like, what sort of monsters raised you?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, it is. It's such a canon of the American filmmaking. It's so beautifully shot.
It is.
So are there sets? Are there elaborate sets? Is it really just very minimal?
For the most part, it's very minimal because the film, for those who know the movie so well, there's so many different outside and indoor shots and so much, just a couple of chairs. I have a wonderful Potter chair that really, the chair itself is almost another character because every time Potter gets in it, they've hooked me up with a wonderful sound cue and all of a sudden I get to creep into the chair and then, what kind of a business are you running anyway? Is this a charity?
I love it.
So it's a lot of fun.
Potter's is one of the characters you love to hate, right?
Exactly.
He's such a hate, but so much so exactly. funny and so much of like what a curmudgeon is.
Exactly.
Is just that guy
that
completely embodied.
Bad guy. They don't write bad guys anymore.
Not like that anymore.
Not like that.
No.
He's such an iconic, wonderful, such a wonderful bad guy.
Yeah, only guys in masks now, you know.
Know. Like, exactly. You know? They have to have superpowers. It's like the guy could barely stand, couldn't even stand up. And what a mean, evil dude.
And Darth Potter. But so when did you start? When you so, like you said, you feel like it's sort of you cheated your way in, or you kind of got your way in. But when did you start really working? I would imagine the thing to me that would be really sort of intimidating about taking a role as as a solo role, is that if something kind of goes wrong. Right?
You're on your own
out there, and you got no bailout. There's no one there to kind of cover a line assist something. So that must be a little nerve-wracking. Right?
It's been a, you know that going in. And, and you know, when you get closer to that first opening night, you're like, if I chunk it here,
right.
I'm all on my own. Start tap dancing.
Dance, monkey, dance.
That's exactly. I got nothing, people. I'm done.
Yeah.
But so far, we've gotten a few performances under my belt, and it's gone very well, and no one's walked out, and I haven't gone up on any lines, and it's I've muttered a few. I've stumbled through a couple of them, but none of the famous ones. In one of my last rehearsals, the famous song that they sing while they're, you know, Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed, or Buffalo Girls, won't you come out tonight? I literally said, it was the last rehearsal before opening night. I had one, like, quick rehearsal with Allison. I said, Buffalo Wings, won't you come out? I said, oh, my goodness, I said Wings. I'm done. What is wrong? I am doomed. I am doomed now. I will never get it right again.
Well, people will just think that's a funny little take.
Fortunately, that hasn't happened in front of the audience yet. Yet, not yet.
Yeah. Are there, when you're doing the stuff like this, just kind of from an actor's, are there certain techniques or tricks you use for kind of getting yourself to certain scenes or things, or is there less of that? You're just kind of, you've got the stuff worked through, you're thinking about the direction you've gotten, and you're sort of trying to remember that stuff more than anything.
I'd say this is a weird one because this is the first time also where I'm playing such iconic people that everyone, you know, 90% of the audience, people are going to know. And so if I did Potter as a, you know, with a Southern accent and said, hey, y'all, you know, I'm Potter. How about that, y'all? And people are like, no, I'm sorry. That's unacceptable. So, you know,
that was not intimidating
Potter.
At all.
That can't be it. That's horrible.
So you do have to do.
So yeah, so I knew those main characters, and I could do them as best. Like I said, I had Potter really quick, and Allison and I had some very awkward rehearsals where we tried to take turns impersonating. Get that Jimmy Stewart. How do you? Well, he's got that weird kind of that he over enunciates some things and lets other things just kind of fly off your tongue, and you just let it roll. But other times, you got to get it right, Andy. You got to get those. All those syllables in that he gets, he's got that loose jaw thing. He just kind of lets it roll.
Did you watch the movie a number of times after the role came over to you?
Just twice. I watched it twice. Watched it once. So we had our first rehearsal. We just kind of sat through it again, and I knew it. For those who, you know, watching, the movie's kind of long. It's like 2.5.
Yeah.
And mine's a one act. It's just an hour 15. You're in, you're out. There's a lot of jokes. Hopefully, maybe a little tear or two at the end when
he's all happy
at the ending, and then you're back out on the street, hopefully full of Christmas cheer.
Yes, absolutely. So, speaking of Christmas cheer, tonight's Beer Friday.
That's right.
It's Beer Friday tonight. That's an exciting thing for the folks who already have tickets, or if they don't yet, you can. I'll be there serving beer over at Louis.
That's right.
Samples of Alaskan brewing. New stuff. Cool new stuff.
Shockingly, one of our most popular evenings
it
every
seems
time
to draw
we do
them
a
in.
Show.
Yes. Yes, the old free beer sign.
Beer Friday brings the crowd in.
Yeah. But it is fun, and it's always really fun to see folks there, and so I look forward to seeing people there tonight. And let's tell everyone what sort of the schedule from here.
Because, you know, we've got some holidays coming up. We've got something, a little Christmas and a New Year's. We're doing actually, and there are no shows on, since they both fall on Sunday. There aren't the regular Sunday. There's a Sunday matinee this weekend. at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
But then the next 2 weeks, the week before Christmas and the week after, we are Tuesday through Friday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 7:30, our normal time. But in addition, we don't normally do shows on Tuesday night and only occasionally on Wednesday. But we're doing both Tuesdays and Wednesdays for the next 2 weeks. And then a Saturday matinee, so you can come on down a little early and then and get your Christmas cheer going.
Cool.
And, yeah, so we're the week before Christmas and the week after when you're stuck around and you don't know, you need to escape your kids or other family members that are
yes.
still in town. Or you can get rid of them, send them to a show.
There you go. Right. Get out of here.
Come on. So come on down. We
take
them all.
Peace.
We
yeah.
take them all.
And watch Clarence get his wings and
that's
the whole
right.
bit. Yeah.
That's right.
Is there one of the roles that you thought, boy, that was the hardest one to get?
Oh,
sounds like you got the Jimmy Stewart pretty quick,
Jimmy
and you
Potter
got the Potter
came
pretty
immediately.
Quick.
Clarence was I'm your guardian angel. You know, it's that little old kind of silly ditty. Of course, the Donna Reed is, which that does not come natural.
No, that would be. I was going to say maybe the Donna.
That's one
you
I
make
continue
a lovely
to work
Donna
on.
Reed. Yes.
I'm continuing to work on that all the time. And I still probably haven't nailed that character yet, but I'm trying.
Well,
I'm giving it my all.
All right. Well, that's James Sullivan. He's the star and the only actor in This Wonderful Life, which is playing right now at Perseverance Theater. Again, tonight it's Beer Friday, so it's a great time to go out and enjoy it. But it's playing throughout the weekend and then into the holidays as well. And,
that's right, all the way to the 31st.
Yeah, what's a PerseveranceTheater.org?
Yeah, PTAlaska.org.
PTAlaska.org.
We found so many people had trouble spelling Perseverance.
I know, right?
As you know, I have trouble. I work there. I can't spell it. But PTAlaska.org, we got tickets up there. Come
show
on
times,
down.
Figure it out, schedule
yes.
it out, and have a great time this holiday season with George Bailey and the rest of the cast.
That's right. They're all
It's
there.
A Wonderful Life. James, thanks so much for coming in, and
you,
happy holidays to you.
You too.
Coming up next here is Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 16th of December, 2016. 1944, on this day, the Battle of the Bulge began in the Ardennes Forest in Belgium and France, lasted for more than a month, the last major German offensive of the war, and for American troops, it was the bloodiest battle of World War II. 19,000 killed, almost 50,000 wounded, 23,000 missing. It was on this date, 1811, two mega earthquakes struck Louisiana Territory, the epicenter in what is now southeastern Arkansas. Eyewitnesses say that the Mississippi River appeared to reverse course, that the soil liquefied, plumes of sulfurous gas shot up from the ground. The earthquakes woke people in Pittsburgh, rang church bells in Boston. This zone is still active, and some seismologists believe the region is overdue for a repeat. It's believed that Beethoven was born on this date in 1770 in Bonn, Germany, born into a family of court musicians. His father started him out on a rigorous course of musical education, and by the time Beethoven was 16, he had a good professional reputation in Bonn. He left for Vienna to meet Mozart, who was busy composing Don Giovanni, but Beethoven made a big impression on him anyway, and he took Beethoven as a pupil. But Beethoven's mother died, he had to go back to Bonn, and by the time he returned to Vienna, Mozart had died, and Beethoven began studying with Franz Joseph Haydn. In 1801, Beethoven wrote to a friend that his hearing was getting worse and worse, but he kept on composing at a furious pace, performed piano concerts through Europe for several more years, until in 1814 he became almost totally deaf. Died in 1827. Schools were closed on the day of his funeral. 30,000 people followed his coffin through the streets of Vienna. It's the birthday of V.S. Pritchett, born in Ipswich, England, 1900. Wrote five novels, but preferred writing short stories. and it's the birthday of Jane Austen, Hampshire, England, 1775. Her first published work, Sense and Sensibility, in 1811. She was widely read in her lifetime, but published all her books signed simply A Lady. She died in 1817, possibly of Addison's disease or lymphoma, or perhaps arsenic poisoning. Virginia Woolf thought her an almost perfect artist. Mark Twain loathed her writing, and not much is known about her personal life because her sister Cassandra burned much of Austen's correspondence after Jane Austen died at the age of 41. Here's a poem by Alden Nowlin, The Palomino Stallion. Though the barn is so warm that the oats in his manger, the straw in his bed seem to give off smoke, though the wind is so cold, the snow in the pasture so deep he'd fall down and freeze in an hour, the 11-month-old Palomino stallion has gone almost crazy, fighting and pleading to be let out. The Palomino Stallion by Alden Nowlin, from his selected poems published by House of Anansi Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. And by the Association of Writers and Writing Programs, bringing their annual conference to Washington, D.C. this February. More at awpwriter.org. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Fiddler on the Roof on Christmas? The Goldtown Nickelodeon, Juno's Unitarian Universalists, and Congregation Sukkot Shalom are pleased to announce Juno's first Fiddler on the Roof screening and sing-along on Christmas Day. Show starts at 4 p.m. at the Goldtown Nick, and all proceeds go to the ACLU. For more information or to buy tickets, visit goldtownnick.com.
And welcome back to the studios here at KTOO in Juneau Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today on this kind of holiday edition of a Juneau Afternoon. And with me on the phone is Michelle Tabler. She's up in Anchorage and is going to talk to us about ID thefts and other sort of scams and crimes that are happening around the holidays. Michelle, thanks so much for joining us.
Having me.
Yeah, no problem. And so let's first talk about ID theft crimes and that are happening, and kind of they seem to have really grown in 2016.
They have. We're seeing a surge on a lot of these, especially around the holidays. But it's just, I think as people have gotten more of the chip cards, they're doing less of that and more of the online type scams to get people. One of the top of the ID theft scams in 2016 was the iTunes gift cards, For whether it was the IRS scam or whatever scam it was, instead of having people wire the money, because people are now catching on that maybe that's a red flag if they're asking you to wire money, but they're asking you to put money onto an iTunes or Amazon card and then read them the number on the back, and of course they're wiping those clean. And it's the same as cash, so the money's irretrievable once it goes.
And tell me again how that works. How does someone get convinced to put that, what are they convincing people that they're representing? That they're representing the IRS or that they're representing?
Well, yes, we had a huge surge in people getting calls. This was countrywide. It especially hit Alaska, where they were calling and they said that they were from the IRS. They had audited your account. You owe money. They're sending law enforcement over to arrest you unless you pay the money right away. They targeted a lot of seniors who got really flustered and they got upset. And so they're saying, if you pay this right now, then we're not going to arrest you and we're not going to revoke your driver's license. And so either they were having them wire the money or to get these refillable cards, whether it was iTunes, Amazon, or some other refillable card, then read them the numbers on the back.
And such a scary thing to get that call, especially if you know, you're just not familiar with as much as about how electronic systems work, that sort of thing, to get that call and then, you know, be told, well, it's okay, we've got this solution for you. I can imagine people really getting sucked into that. But something that, boy, that's an amazing thing.
And it's not just IRS. It's jury duty. It's they're having people pay, like on the puppy and kitten scams. Anywhere where you have to, where they're telling you you need to pay money, they're having them do them on these refillable cards.
So just on that one, if we could just pick that one apart for a minute. So what's your advice specifically on that? Like, how can people tell that it's not a real call from the IRS or it's not a real call from...
Well, the IRS will never call you. That's the first
number
thing.
Number one,
the court system will not call you. Did you ever try and call the IRS itself? You know,
that's true.
So
that's true.
They will not call you. They will send you registered letters through U.S. mail.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime there's a cash component or they're telling you to put money on one of these, that's a huge red flag that it's a scam.
Yeah.
No legitimate company is going to have you do that. So there's two other parts to this. So for us Alaskans especially, buying gift cards is a big deal because they're easy to send, right?
Mm-hmm.
For gifts, and you've got to be careful when you're getting them off of kiosks in stores that they haven't already been compromised. Scammers are going through. They have these electronic devices where they scan the numbers on the back. So you've got to make sure, number one, that it hasn't been tampered with. The number hasn't been pulled off. Nothing's been rubbed off. And because once you validated it, if it has been compromised, then they just wipe it clean once you've gone through and paid for it.
Mm. Yeah, boy.
I know.
So you were saying that those – so the, what are some of the other kind of online things that are happening that are kind of scams?
Well, another part of this is the Amazon Marketplace. There's fake sellers on there. People, of course, are going on Amazon to order gifts and stuff. You've got to make sure it's legitimate. You've got to look at the website. You just got to make sure it's legitimate. If it's a known retailer, go directly to the retailer's website. You don't want to click. We had a case, it was not here in Alaska, but someone that spent $450 at a fake seller on Amazon Marketplace. She sent it again on one of these gift cards. She gave them the money, or she gave them the number on the back of an Amazon card. So an Amazon retailer, they're not going to ask you to pay with an Amazon card. You should be able to pay with a regular credit card. So this was another red flag that they were asking her to put money onto one of these gift cards.
And this is Amazon Marketplace, separate from just going to Amazon.com and ordering goods off of it.
Or well, anything on Amazon. Yeah, you've got to be careful when they're not actual Amazon, but any of the retailers, you've got to make sure that it is a legitimate website that you are going to.
Hmm. So when they say it's a partner retail seller and you're going to a separate website, then all of a sudden you're off of Amazon's kind of protection.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you've got to make sure when you're looking for a secure website that you're looking for HTTP with the S on the end. That means it's secure and there's that lock symbol up there.
And so that means it's encrypted and it's not mm-hmm. out in the open. You're not sending credit card numbers and things like that out in the open.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we're asking people to look for that. Be careful with the lookalike websites. Things that may either you're clicking on it on social media or you're getting an email. And I'm telling you, any emails that you're getting, never click on a link. I don't care how legitimate it looks, whether it's from your bank, your credit card company, or any retailers that you work with. Don't ever. If there's something that interests you, go directly to their website.
It's an amazing thing, and you know, it used to be, right, I think there's something that's happened in the last couple of years. It used to be when a scam came in on your email, if you just read it, you could kind of laugh at it, right?
Right, right.
It looked ridiculous, and it was like, I'm a prince, and I need help, or whatever, that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
Now, it looks like a FedEx notice, right? Or
it
looks like some other thing. It's got the corporate logo on it. It looks completely legitimate. We're all sending out packages right now, right?
Right.
And something comes in and says, oh, there's a problem with one of the things I shipped. I don't remember shipping that, but it must have been one of the things I shipped. You know, and all of a sudden, you're down this really bad path.
You're down a bad path. Not only that, but you think maybe a friend or a relative sent you a gift. and this was the notification. So it's not only things that you may have ordered, but people may have sent you. And so this time of year, of course, we see a ramp up in this sort of thing, fake shipping notices. They copy and paste very well. And what happens is if you click on it, they're putting malware on your computer to take to steal your personal identity, or they're taking you to a website that you don't want to go to. In an extreme case, and we've seen this, it takes you, holds your computer hostage. It's ransomware.
Oh, and this is this wild thing where entire mm-hmm. businesses can even be kind of held at ransom.
Exactly. Yeah. And they can do it with your phones.
Yeah, amazing. Wow.
Yeah, and how many of us have...
Yeah, mm-hmm. a lot of that activity I know was coming out of Russia and these kind of like, these amazing, hacker houses that were just launching attacks all day long.
There are criminal rings, yes, yeah. in Eastern Europe, in Russia, in China, in Africa. Yes, even if they have or spamming a phone number that looks like it may be in the United States, it's probably not.
Oh, amazing. Now, let's get low tech for a minute. There's also what you were describing as porch pirates. So tell me about that scam that happens around holidays.
Well, this is actually out-and-out thieves. They're following FedEx and UPS trucks and U.S. mail. The drivers are leaving packages on your porches when you're not home, and they don't have to be signed for. And there's a surge of it here in Anchorage right now that we're seeing it, and I'm assuming it's probably happening in other parts of Alaska. And they're actually following the trucks, or they're just driving by neighborhoods and looking to see what's on people's porches, and they're stealing.
Yeah, just taking stuff off porches, yeah, right.
Yeah, yesterday, a thief stole a whole a truck filled with packages. They stole the whole truck and then took all the packages out and left the truck.
Oh, my gosh. Well, they would have got my mom's raisin cake if they had done that to me a couple days ago. They would have been deeply disappointed. I think I'm the only one who likes it.
But,
but it's obviously, as you said, that's just like good old fashioned thievery. But mm-hmm. it's again one of these things that fits into this. You get these surges of them happening around holidays, and people just need to take extra precautions. What's something that people should do there? Make sure that packages are sent to be for signature only, or.
Our signature only, have them sent to your work address if you're not home during the day. Have them sent to maybe a relative or friend who would probably be home. You can also work with the post office where they don't leave packages and they'll leave a pink slip instead. I know it's a hassle to go stand in line, but at least you know your package isn't being left on your porch. And then you can also work with shippers like FedEx and UPS to have other delivery options like picking it up.
Now, you were mentioning a couple of other things that were more on the online, Secret Sister and also Wine Exchange. What are those about?
Well, we've seen those on Facebook. What they are is pyramid schemes, so they're illegal. And it's basically the Secret Sister one is you've got names on a list, you add six more names, you buy 10 gifts for $10 each, you send them out, you add your name, and supposedly you're supposed to get like 30 gifts. And so it's a pyramid scheme. Mm-hmm. At some point, it's not going to work. The new thing we've seen that in the last couple years. This year, the new one is the Wine Exchange, where you buy a bottle of wine that's at least $15, send it to the next person on the list, and then you add your name. And again, that's a pyramid scheme, and at some point, it's going to be a point of no return where people aren't going to get it. So we're encouraging people not to, you're going to see that you're going to see your friend sharing and liking it, that it's not a good idea to participate.
Yeah, if you want to give your friend a bottle of wine, that's fine, but just do it directly. You don't have to do it
exactly.
by joining a pyramid scheme. Yeah.
Exactly. We've seen it with books, too. So this is just the holiday version of it as the Secret Sisters and
right.
the Wine Exchange.
Well, any other ones? Just we have about a minute or so left. Any other scams we should be looking for, things that maybe have popped up this year?
The puppy kitten scams always ramp up around the holidays.
The puppy kitten scam? What?
Yes,
what are people
Craigslist.
The scams around puppies and kittens is nothing sacred.
No, there isn't. And they're free to a good home, but it's really, a $2,000, mm-hmm. Puppy, and all you have to do is pay shipping costs, and, we're at the airport now already, but we have to buy a special crate, so we need more money, and it's really sad. And then
yeah.
there's no animal that really shows up.
Man. That's the worst one that's the worst one I've heard. That's terrible.
I know.
Taking advantage
know.
Of people who think they're going to get a kitten. Man.
I know.
Well, it's all bad people out there, but it's just a little bit of protection, a little bit of common sense can really go a long way to making sure that you're not a victim of one of these scams.
And we've got lots of information on our website, Andy, bbb.org. We've also have Scam Tracker on there where people can look to see what the scams that are happening in their areas. And, again, if they see any of this or they, not even just a victim, but they get phone calls or anything, please add it to our Scam Tracker so we can watch the trends that are happening in Alaska.
Well, Michelle Tabler from the Anchorage or Alaska Better Business Bureau, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure.
And thanks for all the information. Once again, the website one more time.
bbb.org/northwest.
Okay, sounds great. And make sure people are out there using good sense and checking on that website to not get holiday scammed. Michelle, thanks so much.
Yeah, happy holidays,
okay,
everyone.
Okay, thanks to you. And here's a little bit from Bird Note.
Bye-bye.
This is Bird Note. Many birds, like the northern cardinal, use the color red as a visual signal. When you're trying to attract a mate or scare a rival, the redder you are, the better. But most birds have the capacity to make red feathers, even those that aren't red. It's thanks to the action of a gene identified in intensely red pet birds known as red factor canaries. The red factor canary is a hybrid, part canary, part red siskin. Researchers found that both those species have the redness gene. But red factor canaries have 1,000 times more red pigment in their skin. The difference? Red factor canaries inherited the siskin's genetic switch that turns on the redness gene in their skin. So just having the gene is not enough. If the genetic switch in the skin is turned off, no red feathers. Although most birds have the redness gene, only some are red. Its presence suggests this gene has another role. It produces red pigments in the eye that enhance color vision. Vision that helps a bird recognize a signal, a flash of red perhaps, in a mate or a rival. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Great stuff there from none other than our local heroes, Playboy Spaceman. Andy B's in the studio with me.
How's it going, Andy?
I'm good. So that's one of your top picks for 2016 right there?
One of my top picks.
I love it. That's the new stuff from Playboy Spaceman, and that's Get Me Out of Here by Playboy Spaceman.
And, George Kuar, Bridget, Jason Messing, Simon Taylor, Nick Wagner.
You got it.
Almost forgot.
Oh, you're a super fan. You know them all.
Better believe it.
Who's your favorite Playboy spaceman? Yeah.
I don't think I'm allowed to have a favorite.
Mine's Bridget. I'm coming right out of the gate.
I was going to say Bridget, too, but that's not fair to George.
Love me some Bridget Kuhar, man. Absolutely. So they're a fantastic band. They've been around now and been together for 3-4 years now, right? Even more, like 5 years.
Yeah, I feel like they were playing my senior year of high school.
Yeah, yeah.
So they did that Woodstock show.
Yep.
Blew everybody's mind.
Yeah, and they were just kind of getting that together. Nick and they were kind of coming together when we did that Glitters thing. That was one of the first. That was the first time those guys played together with Morgan Deering at the time. And then kind of became that, kind of solidified that group with that really interesting percussion stuff that Nick brings to the fold. And So, they just have grown and grown, you know, and they're a really interesting band, I think, because they fit in this great kind of singular voice that George has with this overall group atmosphere, you know. And so his songs, which could easily be solo songs and sometimes are when he does them, when he does solo stuff, but they work and they kind of get augmented and increased and turned around in different ways because of the work with the group.
And I just love their attention to detail and visuals at their shows. You know, you've got Jason Messon on drums and then Nick right next to him on his drum pads. And they'll get, like, super synchronized and, you know, all the flowers at the show.
I know, right?
Party
and yeah.
There's a volcano there.
You really feel like you've been transported a bit
totally.
When you go to those shows, yeah.
And
really
the audience
great.
Is so awesome community.
Yeah, and I love how, like, you know, everyone knows the words now, and it's like they've really become this local band that everyone knows and is waits for their favorites and, you know, thinks they know what they're going to play for the encore and all that kind of stuff, you know. It's really cool. All right, let's go on to another one. That's a really great local one. Let's talk about one a more national, and this is a cool thing, this Childish Gambino.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about this.
Donald Glover, he's an actor. He's in the show Atlanta right now. And
he's going to be the next Lando Calrissian, is what you're telling
me. Yeah,
he is. This is exciting.
Pretty excited
that
about that.
Is exciting. Now, is he related to Danny Glover?
No,
okay.
No relation.
Okay.
But he makes a lot of electronic music. And then this album, he kind of came out of left field with some really amazing throwback funk. There's a lot of Prince influence. There's a lot of P-Funk. And this next one just sounds so Bootsy Collins.
Cool.
I'm kind of in love with it.
All right. So here it is. This is Childish Gambino. This is a song called Redbone. It's one of Annie B's top 5, 6, half dozen, whatever. We got time for picks. In 2016, we're going to hear a little bit of Redbone by Childish Gambino. I definitely hear that Bootsy and also the Prince, of course. That Prince influence is heavy there. But it's so exciting to think that the new Lando Calrissian is that funky.
Right?
I know. I love it.
I just feel like I've been in my funk world the last 2 years, and like the world's finally catching up.
Maybe you better get funky. You're going to keep up with Billy Dee Williams, man. Works every time. Oh, yeah, it does.
Have you seen Rogue One yet?
I haven't. I didn't go last night. I was getting lobbied to go to the midnight show. Did you go?
Mm-mm.
But I didn't go because I have a job. You know, where I have to work in the morning. So I couldn't.
Don't
go.
Cosplay?
I could have cosplayed. But anyway, okay, that was Childish Gambino. Coming up next, a sister of the most famous woman on earth.
Beyonce.
Beyonce's sister, Solange.
So Bon Iver came out with an album, and they thought it was going to be number one album. And then Solange just dropped her album.
Boom.
Boom. Goodbye, Justin Vernon. Sorry, sad folky guy. This just happened. And
I like me some Bon Iver, though.
Yeah. Have you heard his new album?
No.
Oh, well, we should play some.
Okay.
It's a little bit electronic. All the folkies are revolting.
Oh, no. It's like when Dylan went electric.
It's worse, man.
Bon Iver's gone electronic.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So anyway, Solange dropped, and I heard her song, and I was like, this is really cool. But I was like, I don't know if I'm allowed to play Solange on KXLL.
Well, you decide like, what you're allowed to play.
This might be pop music.
You're the music director. You do whatever you want.
Yeah, but this stuff keeps me awake at night.
Oh, well, I know what you're talking about.
Am I going to lose listeners of Beyonce's sisters?
It's popular, but is it too popular?
Exactly. Oh. We can't be too cool. But then it was on everybody's year-end list. It was like top 10 for NPR, best album, and just listen to it. The harmonies.
This is Solange Knowles, Beyonce's sister, and this is Cranes in the Sky.
Good.
Yeah, that's nice. Solange. Now, just for the interests of fair
the
play,
Bon Iver.
Let's play some Bon Iver. Here's a little Bon Iver. This is the album that was supposed to be number one. Boom. This is going to happen. It is really good. But
yeah.
Solange kind of snuck in there. And
sorry, not sorry.
Pushed him out of the way. Here's Bon Iver with Over Soon. It's okay. I get it.
It's no snowy cabin in Wisconsin.
Yeah, no, right? Yeah.
No skinny love.
All right, Bon, what are you doing, man? Okay, well, let's go up next. Here's Sturgill Simpson.
Sturgill Simpson covering Nirvana. in bloom.
And what's up with Sturgill Simpson? Tell me a little bit of the background.
Sturgill Simpson, I think he's a Nashville musician, he's really critical of music row and big country music and kind of became this breakthrough star probably 2 years ago.
Okay, cool.
And this album features a lot of lap steel. And he did this photo with Merle Haggard, and it was supposed to be the cover of this magazine, and they bumped him out for some big music row artist. And they're like, you guys don't even love Merle Haggard.
And now Merle's gone.
Yeah.
And we've got Sturgill Simpson. Here he is covering In Bloom by Nirvana.
Sarah is a fool. Where the changes bloom, spring is here. Reproductive plan. He's a wonder, likes all our pretty songs. Likes to sing home and likes to shoot his gun, but don't know what it means. Don't know what it means to love someone.
Well, I'm in tears.
Right?
I love it.
I mean, he takes this classic Nirvana song that's really aggressive and just turns it on its head and makes it this beautiful.
And wherever place where they kind of really go for that emotion scream, he goes for the emotion down low.
And there's this trumpet section that comes in. And
George Jones all in there. That's good. That's good stuff. You were saying let's get a little bit of time in here. Another country great.
Yes.
Sort of had been an alt-country star for a long time, but sort of in that mainstream as well. Here's some Dwight Yoakam covering a song that we all know.
I never meant to cause you any sorrow. I never meant to cause you any pain. Only wanted one time to see you laughing. I only wanted to see you laughing in the purple rain. Purple rain, purple rain.
That's nice. Dwight Yoakam doing a little tribute there to Prince, Purple Rain.
They were recording it in the studio when Prince died, and they're like, why don't we just do it?
We just got to do it. We got to do it. Hey, in the middle of this, we're just going to mention that the Christmas Lights flights has been postponed until tomorrow night. That freezing rain that's out there right now is keeping helicopters from flying, so just in case you're planning on doing that. Okay, we got one more that we're going to go with, another local great that I love, Whiskey Class. What's their deal, and what's this that we're going to hear?
This is Patrick Troll and Liz Snyder. Patrick's in Seattle, has a show on KXLL called Burger Church. And Liz, of course, guitarist, songwriter. Together, they do electronic music. They put this song out with a video animated by his dad, Ray Troll, that's just gorgeous.
Very cool. Here's Flicker of Light. We should play more of it, but we'll play it out. But that's Flicker of Light, Whiskey Class. They're downloadable, wonderful stuff. Annie B., thanks so much for giving us a short list of some of your favorites from 2016. And that's it for a Juneau afternoon for today. Thanks to everyone for joining me. Coming up next is All Things Considered.
Wow, that was tight.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K2...